This is the VSiN Saturday Betting Hour. Here is Adam Burke.
Welcome back in, everybody, for the final segment of this week's edition of the VSiN Saturday Betting Hour. I'm your host, Adam Burke, the managing editor over at VSiN.com, the Vegas Sports and Information Network. You can follow me on X at Skating Tripods. You can follow us on X at VSiN Live. That's VSIN.com. NFL Betting Guide is out. I've been pulling some nuggets out of that on today's show. We'll continue to do that with the AFC West here coming up in a minute. But I just want to mention this, the LeBron James saga that continues to play out in the prediction markets. Now, I know that these are not available to everybody back there in the state of Ohio, but Cavs still the pretty heavy favorite from a probability standpoint to be LeBron's next team. And what was really interesting was that we saw kind of on Thursday, I believe it was, saw a pretty big uptick in Cleveland possibly being Draymond Green's next team. Now, that market on Friday did kind of settle back down a little bit, where staying with Golden State or retiring is still a heavy favorite, but Draymond and LeBron apparently being seen golfing. And, you know, it's incredible to watch the way that any piece of news, really in any market, you know, how it shifts what these things look like at the prediction markets, Kalshi, Poly Market, etc. It's remarkable to see how knee-jerk all of this stuff is. It's just, it's crazy. But, you know, for right now, Cavs still the favorite for the services of LeBron. We'll see if that ends up being the case, and we'll see when this does come to a resolution at some point. I know the Cavs social media team kind of trolling a little bit here throughout the course of the week. We'll see what ultimately happens, but I didn't want to go the whole show without mentioning it, even though, again, it's not a market available to you guys. It's not a market available to me out here in Nevada either, where prediction market's not allowed. In the state of Nevada, the gaming commission, very strong out here, not to mention the entrenched sports betting lobby. And you know, we don't even have lottery out here. So, yeah, probably not going to have prediction markets anytime soon. But I did just want to mention that, you know, the odds are still in Cleveland's favor for LeBron to have his reunion, you know, for what is expected to be his final season in the NBA. But again, I thought it was really interesting to see the Draymond news kind of push things around a little bit. Kind of a fascinating little sidebar to this whole LeBron conversation. Anyway, back to the NFL. Talking about the AFC West here, Chiefs plus 160 favorite, Chargers plus 190, Broncos plus 225. And I talked about it in the previous segment where I get it with the Chiefs. You know, just you look at them from an organizational standpoint. You look at what Mahomes has accomplished throughout the course of his career. You look at what Steve Spagnuolo has done here as the DC. But at the same time, it does definitely feel like the Chargers and the Broncos have moved forward, whereas I don't know that Kansas City is really moving in that direction. Now, that said, when you look at the Chargers here for this upcoming season, opening with the Cardinals, then they play on the road here in Vegas against the Raiders. After that, on the road at Buffalo, a dog in that situation, take on Seattle in week four. You've got the Broncos after that, then the Chiefs, then the Rams. Very tough early season schedule for Jim Harbaugh and company. So it's going to be very important for Justin Herbert to get off to a good start. Now, if you remember last year, Herbert dealing with the foot issue throughout most of training camp, and it, you know, definitely did hurt him. You know, he had the foot problem. They had some other stuff going on. But the biggest thing is that Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt missed significant time last season for the Chargers. And it's all about the offensive line running the football for Harbaugh. And he's got a good play action quarterback, a guy who can stretch the field a little bit in Herbert. But when you don't have, you know, those guys on the offensive line, it's really tough. And so teams did get after Herbert, 54 sacks last season for him. But the offensive line back intact here. Mike McDaniel comes in as the offensive coordinator. That should be very, very interesting, where he's a quirky guy. He's an odd guy. It didn't really work out super well in Miami, although the offense was pretty good down there in Miami. There were a lot of things that McDaniel had to kind of deal with. Tua's concussion issues. Tyreek Hill, of course, had a season-ending injury, keeping Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle both happy. Waddle was hurt as well. But McDaniel now, as the OC, you do wonder if it's oil and water with Mike McDaniel and Jim Harbaugh. But McDaniel's a guy that you look at his offensive track record and it's very impressive. And if he can get, you know, if he can get some health out of this team, and the Chargers are virtually never healthy, But if they can be healthy for a year, this is a team with a big time ceiling. And, you know, I think Chris O'Leary is going to be a pretty good DC there. I like Akeem Mezidor, their first round pick, who I think is worthy of a bet in the defensive rookie of the year market. I think it's a pretty good Chargers team. I think if you're looking at a team to win the AFC West, I would favor them personally over the Chiefs, but the schedule is a big, big sticking point for this team where they do play a lot of tough games. They got to go to Baltimore. They got to go to Buffalo. They got to go to Tampa Bay. So they got some long games away from home at various points throughout the course of the season here. Shouldn't have, like, and two cold weather games probably in January as well, going on the road to take on the Chiefs and the Broncos. So the schedule is a bear. The schedule is very, very difficult. But I think this is the best team in the division, at least on paper. So we'll see if they're able to live up to it. Now, the reigning champs in the AFC West, the Denver Broncos. You know, Bo Nix played much better, I think, than anybody really anticipated last season. You know, Jarrett Stidham, of course, played well in the playoffs. Sean Payton's done a good job with this team. Elite-level defense. They were exceptional on defense last year. First in yards per play, third in points per game. They were top 10 in variety of different metrics. Looked really, really good in so many different areas. So they also won a lot of close games and had a soft schedule. And it's one of those things where I think people are kind of lumping the Broncos in with the Patriots. And there are a lot of similarities, right? You got Nix and May, who are at similar levels of their NFL careers. You've got two teams that played exceptionally well on defense, but did so against weak schedules. And we did see, you know, we saw some cracks, certainly, you know, with the Patriots offense in the postseason. Saw some cracks with Denver kind of all the way around in the postseason. Their schedule is not as difficult as the Chargers' schedule is, which is kind of surprising given that they are playing a first-place schedule. But I think there's a lot of questions about Bo Nix and if he's really going to be able to sustain the level of play that he had this previous season. And I think it's kind of fascinating when you look at, you know, the win total market here, the Chargers sitting there at 9.5, Denver also sitting there at 9.5, but it does feel like people are more willing to take the under with Denver than they are with the Chargers, despite the discrepancy in schedule between the two teams. And I think a lot of that has to do with the schedule that was played last year, right? It's kind of a prove it bet. Look, if you guys are going to go out there and win 10 games, good for you, but you got to prove it to me and I'll pay to see it. I will pay to see you have similar success, not 14-3 success, but similar enough success against a better schedule that if I'm wrong, it is what it is, right? I'll just kind of eat it. And that's what happens. And I think that's the approach that a lot of people are going to take to this Bengals team where, you know, they haven't been enough of a factor of late for people to think that things are sustainable. And there are a lot of statistical reasons why you want to be on or against a team, you know, turnover margin, you know, regression to the mean, or, you know, record in close games, you know, injuries, all these kinds of things. But there's a certain level of just kind of head and heart, right? Where, you know, if a team hasn't been able to sustain a certain level of play, people will be against them. Washington was one of those teams going into last season, you know, where people were like, okay, well, yeah, they were in the NFC Championship game, but they haven't sustained success in a while. Then, of course, Jaden Daniels gets hurt and they go 5-12. But it is a circumstance where I think a lot of people look very skeptically at teams that have this big 1 year and have a difficult time sustaining it. And then the cycle kind of begins again, right? Let's say Denver goes 7-10, right? Off of the 14-3 season. What will people think of them going into the 2027 campaign? Well, they're probably going to go, well, you know what? That 14-3 was just a fluke. It was a flash in the pan. Yeah, this is what this team is. And then maybe there may be value on going the other way, right? Zigging when people are zagging, you know, that whole expression. So we'll see. But I think Denver is a team that, you know, could definitely suffer some pretty significant setbacks in terms of last year's numbers as they ramp up with the schedule and as teams kind of better prepare for Bo Nix. Lastly, the Raiders, who are at least going to be a lot more exciting this season. Clint Kubiak, the first-year head coach. We'll see when Fernando Mendoza does start for this team. They do have Kirk Cousins, so they don't really have to throw Mendoza into the fire right away. But I do think Kubiak is a good hire. Curious to see what happens with the defense, because Max Crosby, you know, the whole Knicks trade with the Ravens and that whole thing. You do wonder, you know, really about his health and you know, what kind of position he's in heading into the season. But I do think that this is a team that upgraded personnel on defense, upgraded personnel on offense, upgraded the coaching staff. And it could be better than their 5.5 win total. So we'll see what they're able to do. It could be a slow start to the season. But, you know, again, the Raiders definitely do look to be a better team. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this week's show. This has been the VSiN Saturday Betting Out.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.